Oh, hello. Yoo-hoo! Happy Sunday. Oh my gosh, I just had the greatest 24 hours. I was catching babies yesterday. You know, I don't do it as my main gig anymore, but I just love it so much I can't let it go. So like a handful of times a year I cover for some friends to catch babies. And it was just awesome yesterday. Like, lots of really, like, cool babies, some really sick people that got better, you know, just like, and our first proper dump of snow. I know it, I was wondering, like, when I just stopped at my, like, first proper dump, I didn't, although I do get happy about those, too, but it was our first proper dump of snow here in Anchorage, and it's gorgeous. Like, I was just going for a walk when we had a quiet period, and it was snowing through the garden. There's like a garden at the hospital and with like holiday lights, and it was just so pretty. And, you know, winter is what makes, snow is what makes the winter really tolerable here because, you know, it's darker in the winter. And then when there's snow, the light comes down and reflects off the snow. So just everything seems brighter. Like you have one light bulb outside and it lights up the whole area. And so we've all been waiting because Alaskan winters are awesome when there's snow because there's so much to do and such good playing to be done. Believe it or not, there's people that come up here just for winter because they want to go get it in the snow. And it's absolutely amazing. So anyway, this is our final call. That's right. It's our final call. It's kind of crazy for the ZGF program. And all of the recordings are still going to be available to you, okay? So don't worry about that. If you're like, oh, I missed like the last couple, you can totally get on and onto the Ruzuku platform and then hit the webinar tab and then you can listen to all the past recordings. And so I highly recommend you do that, especially if you were coached before, you could listen to it again. But this call, I want you to really think about where do you think you're going to get stuck in the ZGF program, right? Like there was the clarity. Are you still not clear? There was, you know, the creating intentions. Do you know how to do that? There's the clearing and the letting go. There's the committing to the action, right? Like there's all these steps. Like, where do you feel like you still need some guidance? And I know some of you are really making an effort to learn the model. And that is so important because it is fundamental to doing thought work, mindset work that actually works and sticks and is long-term. You know, you can, you know, visualize something and set intentions for something, and that is so helpful. Right? It's so much more helpful than doing nothing. So I highly recommend you do that. And if you're ultimately not changing your thoughts about you, about your life, about the people around you, about the way the universe works, you know, all these things that we think are facts, but they're just kind of happening. There's these events that happen and then we choose how to interpret them, right? Unless you change that thought process, which is totally under your control and optional, all thoughts are optional, anything you do otherwise, you're always going to end up self-sabotaging, right? This is why people who win the lottery, the vast majority, I forget what the percentage is, but it's definitely over 80% and it might be over 90%. They end up in the same income bracket after a few years, even though they won millions of dollars. Why do you think that is? I know why, because I've seen it over and over with so many other parts of people's lives, not just money. I've seen it with clients with money, but in other things too. It's because their thoughts about their relationship with money hasn't changed. Right? They don't love money. They love spending it. And if that's your only relationship to money, yeah, you're going to end up right where you have been, spending and then, you know, paycheck to paycheck kind of thing. And so, you know, we see so many examples of circumstances changing, like winning the lottery. Yet, ultimately, people end right back up where they are, right? Or moving, or a new relationship, all of that kind of stuff. And it's people end right back where they were, and it's because they haven't changed their thoughts. So, you know, this work is fundamental to creating lasting change in patterns that cause you suffering. So it is super important to learn how to do this. And what I've been noticing is that there needs to be also a kindness and a gentleness to doing the work, right? You can't use the work to beat yourself up. That doesn't do anyone any good. So when you want to say, okay, I'm going to work on my thoughts, I'm going to change this, come at it from a place of self-compassion. Like, understand how old you are, and that's how long you've been, you know, being indoctrinated with certain thoughts through your society, right? Through advertising and media. There's so many ways that thoughts that we don't want come at us, right? Family, friends. And then they get implanted like little seeds, and then they get watered because, you know, they come at us a lot, and then those seeds grow. And so it's time for you to pull the weeds out of those, you know, what those seeds were growing, and plant new ones. And that's what the thought work is. So it's really important to be kind with yourself, because that's not going to happen overnight. You know, this stuff is not necessarily new. You know, like the coach I trained with, she actually created the model that you're learning, and I've modified it for some of, you know, my people, and how I feel it really works best with my particular clients, in the sense that I add a compassion component to it, because when you don't, you can really harsh on yourself doing this work and get really frustrated. So when you realize the feeling, the negative feeling that you have from your thoughts, you need to really apply some self-love there and really say, like, wow, this is hard. Don't be like, damn it, look at those thoughts that are creating this, like, shitty feeling, right? You have to be like, hey, this is hard. Like, check it out. I have this thought, and it creates shame in me, or it creates this belief that I'm not lovable, and that feels like, and then I feel unlovable or unworthy. Okay, so be sure to be compassionate with yourself in doing this work. All right, so I see a bunch of people on the line live, and so if you want to be coached live, please press star 2. Please don't waste this opportunity, because it's our last call. You know, don't judge yourself for having certain questions, like, oh, I asked this a long time ago, I asked this, like, right, like, and I don't want to ask it again, or I feel like I asked too many questions, or whatever, who cares? Like, this is your program, right? You signed up, this is your program. Milk it to the max, okay? And so, raise your hand and press star 2 if you have any questions. All right. And then if you are not on the telephone, what you could do is in the Q&A box on the webcast link, there's a place that you could type in a question if anybody here is new. Okay. So we have another week in the program, right? Like, week 7 was released on Friday. And so, you know, we go through Thursday still. So you can still also ask some questions in the Facebook group. I just wanted to let you know that. But this is our last live call. So go ahead and press star 2 to raise your hand to get coached. Go ahead and type your questions in, and then we'll go ahead and get started, okay? All right. 4284, how can I help you?
Hey there. This is Ayana. Hi, Ayana.
Hi. Stu says hi, too. I was actually wondering more about logistics because I have not kept up with the material, but I really want to continue with it. Will it all continue to be available for a while?
Yes.
I forget what you said.
So I'm moving to a new platform for the future groups, and it's going to be amazing. But this platform, for anybody who's taken the ZGF course already, as long as Rizuku, the platform is hosted on, as long as Rizuku's around, you get access. You won't be able to, like, communicate with me through Rizuku or anything like that, but all the material, they said, will be there. Even if I leave Rizuku and move to a new platform, all of my courses are saved on their server for the students that are currently signed up. So no one else can be added to it, but all of you that are in it right now will still be able to go back, access the modules, access the content and whatnot. And you could do it over and over. Like, I have some students that, you know, do it every year because they're like, I wonder where I'm at now and how I will receive this differently, right? And then in terms of the Facebook group support, that ends the day that the course ends on the, you know, whatever, next Friday morning. And then the future groups will all be through the new platform, which is going to be Freedom School, because what's awesome about Freedom School is you'll have access to all of the courses and continued live support with weekly group calls and everything. So, you know, maybe you heard about my drink less call, or maybe you heard about the stopover cleaning eating class that's going to happen. So it's like a monthly membership, and you get access to everything, to all of those courses at once. So you could pick which ones you want to continue with and continue to get live support. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Did you have any questions? Where are you feeling like, I bet you do. Come on.
I haven't been following the materials in several weeks, unfortunately, but I feel like things are actually shifting in our life, my life, for some really interesting possibilities in the future, but I don't have a specific question for that at the moment.
That's really cool.
Later,
what do you think has... Yeah, yeah.
Or tell you more now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We sometimes see, because I remember you're like, oh my gosh, I'm having these aha moments. Because, like, when you're doing the material, right, like, it works. Like, because I've, you know, this is why I tell people, you know, whenever they sign up for my programs, I'm like, if you're doing the work and you're not seeing any shifts, like, in the first, like, 30 days, then, yeah, you can totally have your money back because it works. And so it's like, So when you were in the material regularly, you know, some things were shifting. And then now it's like, ooh, some possibilities are opening up. Girl, they are related, okay?
Yeah.
It's not like those random things just happen. When you start shifting what you're dreaming of and thinking of and what you think is possible, the universe, the molecules start aligning. And it's like, ooh, look at this fun thing that's happened. Like, there's that great quote by Goethe. I'm just going to read it. Goethe, Providence. Here, check this out. All right, this is actually a mountaineer who said this. I may have read this to you guys before, but it says this: until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there's one elementary truth. One, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no person could have dreamed would have come their way. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. Whoa, right? Like, committing to doing things differently, committing to not settling, committing to being open to the magic that's out there and all the possibilities. Then the universe goes, glad you're paying attention. watch out, here it comes, right? Like, and it, who knows when or who knows how, but it tends to happen. So don't forget to take credit for these cool things that are happening. Can you give us a couple of examples?
Yeah, well, I have always loved traveling, but we've been pretty stationary the last 10 years or so to build this other dream. And we're trying to figure out how, I was trying to figure out how we could travel more as a family. And we don't have an exact plan, but my husband's on board. We have like a shared goal now to actually to get an electric vehicle like a Tesla or something and a small travel trailer that we can pull with it so we can travel without burning gas to different national parks and wild areas and do some road schooling, homeschooling of our daughter as well as coming back home so we don't want to be on the road full time. So we don't know the steps to get there yet. We're still working on sorting that out, but it feels really good to just have a plan, an inspirational plan. This is what we're aiming for. And to have, I mean, I think I was the instigator, but to have both of us on board with that same plan feels really nice. And I'll say
I
also just that.
That,
like, yeah, one of my concerns about this, other than, like, who am I to do this thing when everybody else is, whatever, living this other life, but one of my bigger concerns is leaving, or rather losing connection with friends who are not living in that way, at least, you know, not the traveling life, who don't understand that. And I'm getting to be okay with that. That I might lose some people, and, oh, well, they weren't the right people, and there will be new people who come in.
That's the letting go part of the ZG thing too, right? It's like, when you're cultivating that radiant inner confidence, that ZG, it's like, yeah, and it's okay. Like, those people can fall away, and then it creates a void, and that will get filled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, but there is a grieving that does occur. Like, you know that my family travels a ton, and that is one of the drawbacks, is we're not there for some of the little things that really matter to people, right? Like the birthday parties, or like stopping by and helping out during the harvest, because that's like tends to be leave or something. And but what I found is there is like a core group of people who totally get it and they love it. Like, we come back and they're like, tell us about where you've been. That's so amazing. I bet Maya is like loving it, right? And then there's other people that are like, well, when you travel a lot, it's really hard to stay in touch with people. And I'm just like, yeah, bye-bye. Like, we don't need that, right? And it's like, some people really need friends that, like, they need friends to make them happy. And they're like, if you're not here when I need this, then you're not my friend. Well, that's their definition, right? Sometimes. And yeah, they get to miss out on your friendship. If that's
the
how
other
they're going to receive
it. Yeah, and then I've found that some friends who I don't think of as particularly adventurous in this way are, like, inspired. Like, I'm giving them something by being gone, by doing these things. They're like, wow, that's so cool that you do that. So not only are they just like, yeah, that's neat, I'll still be friends with you. They're like, really appreciate that I'm doing these things and sharing it with them. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, people who have thoughts that life is supposed to be lived fully are going to look at your decision and say it's awesome. People who have thoughts that life is about being safe and like making really rational, like predictable decisions are going to think what you're doing is fucking crazy. Like, and so here's an example, like those are all just thoughts that those people are having, right? Like, they just have certain thoughts about how life should be. Neither is right or wrong, but like some people are going to align with that for sure. And I just really want to go back to something you kind of said quickly. You were like, well, other than this whole thing about like, how can we be doing this when other people are suffering? And like, you know, there's like genocide and crap like that, right? Like,
oh yeah, I've got lots of stories.
This is like exactly what you just said. When you are living your life fully, you are inspiring people and showing them what's possible. Like, I always say, like, you know, I want to show my clients what is possible. I want to show them that, you know, you don't have to give up one career to do another. Like you can actually create your own special soup of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like I want to show them that it is possible to like do really well in traditional structures like healthcare and be able to travel your ass off and do all these other things. I want to show them that it is possible to be an entrepreneur and a mom. Like there's just, and like whenever I get scared or tired, that's what drives me. I'm like, no, like I want people to see that this is possible. And every time you do something like that, Ayana, like, hey, we're like, we've got this deal and then now we're going to travel more. That's going to inspire other people that it is possible. Right? Like if my mom, who is a Filipino immigrant with a sixth grade education, if she came to the United States and people weren't living amazing, awesome lives that were full of abundance and joy, she wouldn't know what was possible if that's all she saw, right? Was suffering. She wouldn't have said, I better send my daughter to like the best schools on scholarships so that she has a chance to get out of our current situation, right? Like it was other people not suffering that showed her what was possible and gave her motivation to do it. And I tell you what, like when you are living in full alignment with your joy, part of that is going to be service and giving back to the world, right? Like you just can't like do shit and not give back. Like as humans, there's just a part of us that wants to be of service, but like that'll happen too. It's not like you're just going to be in this hedonistic, like ignorant state of mind, right?
And even just by being a parent, I'm in service all the time to my kids. So say we did just,
oh my God,
hedonistically, yeah, but raise a child, and then at least we're doing that bit. But yeah, I appreciate the
raising another human being. Yeah, totally. So watch those thoughts because they will get sneaky. Like when you get offered an opportunity, those thoughts may not be conscious and they'll get sneaky on you. And you might say, oh, no, not right now. Or no, maybe not yet. And oh, not that exactly, because those thoughts start coming in. Like, And I see this so much with clients about money, like they're afraid of making money. And like my husband is totally like this. Like he doesn't want, like he's really uncomfortable with making money. And he like wants to live like a kind of poverty lifestyle. Like he thinks that it's more noble, right? And then, I'm just like, I love making lots of money because then I can give it away. Like, I don't need this money. Like, I love giving it away. I love giving it to charities. I love when people are like, hey, this really liberal person wants to run against this really rich, like, super conservative guy that's against women's rights. I'm like, I love that I could throw some money down and, like, help change the world that way. Like, and neither of it's right or wrong. You just have to look at it like, no judgment, right? And so, like watching out for, you know, what's right or what's wrong and what is money. Oh my gosh, like money is such a big one, y'all. Like we have so many stories about that, right? And so just watch out for that and then keep creating this life because as you know, like you saw it, like you committed, like, hey Stu, you and I, we are going to travel more. Let's commit to that together. And then your soul goes, ah, now we can fucking relax. That's what we've been trying to tell her the whole damn time. It's like, we want to travel more, right? Like, and so now you've committed to it. Now things are going to start moving in that direction. Don't let a day go by where you don't, like, do a little web surfing about where you're going to go next or, like, get a map of a new area you want to explore or, like, check something out. Like, remind yourself that you're committed to this, okay?
Yeah. Actually had to take a day off because I was throwing myself into it a little too much. I was staying up too late researching on this or that. But
oh, how fun.
Forward momentum. Keep it up.
Exactly. Right on. Well, congratulations. I'm glad that you're seeing some manifestation there.
Thank you.
Yeah. And another question comes up, raise your hand. Okay. Oh. Let me see here. We're going to mute that. Oh, yeah, I almost muted myself. Uh-huh. Okay. doesn't show a phone number. It shows you're on the website. I'm going to say her name. Cindy, hey.
Hey, Anna.
You go, girl. You have been in it.
Yeah, that's that's a way to put it. So I have been reading the Self-Coaching 101 booklet. And the thing that really like has jumped out at me from that is the fact that I am not willing to sit with these fucking emotions that feel so nasty. It's like all of the thought work I have done previous to this model is like, change the thought to positive, change it, like change the emotion.
Yeah.
And it's like now.
That's why it doesn't stick.
I know. And that's like the book is saying, it's like, you've got to sit with this. And it's like, No, it's like I resist that with everything I have. So I know that the issue is, but I'm not quite sure where to go with it from there.
Okay. I love that. I'm dedicating the entire month of March to exactly this. Like, because it's such a big deal, right? And so in the monthly program, March is all about like how to stop trying to escape these difficult emotions. Because, but in my Drink Less, Feel Free course and my Stop Overeating course and any of these things that are about buffering, right? Buffering is a term I love because it's like using something else to feel better. Or to avoid or to numb out, right? Like maybe you're not even feeling better, you're just not feeling. But whenever we do that, it like most of the time that we're doing stuff we don't want to do is because we don't want to feel a certain way. And so we're trying to change the way we feel with an external thing instead of being willing to sit with it until it's done. Here's an interesting fact, right? Neuropsychology has shown that an emotion without additional thoughts added to it goes away in 90 seconds. So like if you just, because like emotion is what? Do you guys remember from the model? Emotion is a vibration in the body, right? It's like a response that the body's having. And so when you have this response, which maybe your chest tightens and your blood vessels dilate and you feel a little lightheaded and stuff, we have thoughts about that. And we say, oh, I'm anxious. Or when we feel contracted and our upper body hunches over and our eyes just want to close and our limbs feel super heavy, we say, I'm depressed. When we have fire coming up and we're just like, like the blood rushes to your head and you're just pissed, right? Like, you know, you feel this like heat, the blood rushes to your face, you get flushed, your muscles start trembling. It's like, oh, I'm angry. But here's the thing. If we just felt the physical reaction of that feeling, like the physical manifestations, and didn't add a story to it, like motherfuckers didn't buy my art, right? Or like,
yeah.
Or like, damn it, I can't believe I overdrank. Again, there's shame. Damn it, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, we add a story on top of that feeling, and guess what? The feeling lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts. So what's ironic is if we just stayed with that feeling, it would pass so much faster. Now, if you stay with it and ruminate, if you stay with it unconsciously and are not doing it, then, yeah, you're going to go deeper. This happens a lot with people that get into a funk, right? They, like, get into a funk, it feels familiar, and then they want to shit on themselves for the next few days. So it's like, oh, woe is me. The world is so fucked up. Like, oh, what? There it did. It happened to me again, and blah, blah, blah. And then it just keeps going and going and going, and then you feel shitty for a long-ass time. And it's like, I don't want to feel that. Well, you don't have to. That's not what I'm saying. The ironic thing is when you're willing to be with the emotion just for what it is, without the story attached to it, when you're willing to do that, then it moves so much faster through you. Like grief is such a good example. Like for me, I have mastered this with grief. Like, well, maybe master is a strong word, but I'm damn good at it. Like when my dad died, I was like, I'm just going to like be fucking sad for however long it needs. I'm not going to push this away. I'm going to like crumple up on the floor and just grieve. And then whenever I feel like sobbing, I'm just going to start sobbing. Like if I was at work and something reminded me of something about him, I would go into the, I'd say, excuse me, oh, I need to step out for a minute and deal with something. I'd go into the bathroom and cry. I was like, I just let it come up and then, whew, it's gone. And then it comes up again and I'd be with it. Whew, and it's gone. And it's like, you know, when you let the emotion be, it moves. It's sort of like that beach ball analogy, okay? Like these hard emotions come up and then we try to resist and we push it down, right? It's like push it down, push that beach ball under the pool water or under the ocean. And it takes a lot of work, but we can do it, but we can't fucking relax because the moment we relax, it goes pop and then it pops up even higher and it shoots out of the water, right?
Exactly.
And so, yes. And so if you can just say, ah, there it is. What does it look like? And so one of the first things you can do to get out of the story is to describe it physically and just let your mind focus on what it feels like physically so that it's not focusing on thoughts about it and be like, oh, isn't this interesting? What is, and just do a body scan. Like, what does my head feel like when I'm feeling this thing, right? And don't say when I am, say when I'm feeling. Like, what does this, how would I describe it? And it sometimes is helpful not even to give it a name, not even to call it anger or shame or unworthiness or whatever, and just like describe it. And then it's like, oh, and then here, Cindy, where I know it can be particularly powerful for you just from looking at some of your models is that self-compassion component. And that's not taught in that book because that was originally written by the woman who created the model. But this is where I feel like most people get lost is where there's no element of self-compassion because so many of us have harshed on ourselves for so long. When you feel that emotion, like you have to do some self-soothing. Like put your, like what we know is that physiologically when you put a hand over your heart, the warmth of that hand over your heart creates a relaxation response. When you touch your cheek with your hand, that creates a relaxation response. When you put your hands on your belly, that creates a relaxation response. When you hug yourself, when you kind of gently stroke your face with your fingers or your arms with your hands, just gently stroking them, that creates a self-soothing response that you have access to all the time. And you can say, wow, Cindy, this is a hard one to feel. And then just give yourself some self-compassion because I used to think that self-compassion was for wimps because I was like, oh, my mom's an immigrant. My dad was in World War II. Like I didn't get to where I was because they were wimping out on like, oh, baby, things are hard, right? Like, but then I was like, I'm going to be open to this because people I really respect say it's like super key. And so I did. I went to multiple trainings and like, you know, it clicked. I was in this intensive training for 5 days and it did not click for me until day four. And I'm talking living and breathing this 24/7. And I've been doing this work a long time. But on day four, I was like, oh, it works. And you're actually more resilient when you're able to be kind to yourself when you feel shitty. This is not the same as self-pity. Part of self-compassion, right? There's three components to self-compassion. Kristen Neff, who is not related to me. I know Neff was my maiden name, is my maiden name. But I feel like we're like kind of these sisters, though, because she is part Swiss, too, and I'm half Swiss. And so that's where our last name comes from. But she's a researcher at the University of Texas in Austin, and this is all she does is self-compassion research. And the three components are the mindfulness of something hard is happening, right? like not blowing through it or ignoring it or trying to change it, but just as my like, ooh, I'm feeling a lot of shame right now, or I'm feeling a lot, I'm feeling unlovable right now, or whatever. You need to have the awareness first that that's happening, because some people aren't even aware that they're feeling bad. They just think the world sucks and that it's the world, but they're not recognizing, oh, I feel sad or I feel angry, right? So there's that component. There is the element of kindness, right? That kind of like you have to have a gentleness to it, not a like, get fucking self-compassionate, right? There's a kindness to that. And then this is the key part. There is a common humanity element. Recognizing that you are not alone. All of us have shit thoughts. All of us feel shame. Most people have had trauma. Most people have had someone they love die. Most people did not get to follow through on a dream. Like, this is not an isolated event. This is part of being human. This shitty stuff is what we get if we want to feel joy and love and adventure and passion. We have to acknowledge the other side of the coin. There is no world where people are happy 90% of the time. There is not. You may think there is because of Facebook or Instagram. No one is happy that much. Like and what's ironic is the happiest people, the truly happy people, are totally ready to take the hard parts too. Like, of course, right? And so it's sort of like, I remember when my dad died, I was like so deep in my meditation practice and in awareness that I remember when he died, I was like, oh, right, this too. This too. This is part of it too. I don't get to have a dad and love him and have him like care about me without him also dying. Like, we don't get to feel love and joy and happiness without also having these hard things happen. And the more that we think those hard things aren't supposed to be happening to us, the more that we're like, why me, why this, why that, the more we're making it a bigger part of the equation than it really needs to be. Like, if you look at the Dalai Lama who, you know, escaped, you know, over Himalayan passes, his friends and family killed and tortured by, you know, soldiers that invaded Tibet and, you know, all of these horrible things. You know, people say, even to him, like meditation master, like many people consider him to be enlightened, right? Do you get angry? Do you get sad? And he's like, oh, of course, but it passes faster. Because he has an awareness of what it is. It's just this body sensation, and it only bothers me because I'm having thoughts about it. And with that awareness, it moves faster, but you don't try to stuff it away, right? And so just being able to start identifying the physical feelings and not add thoughts to it is important. Doing your thought downloads in the morning when you first wake up, you can pick a topic that you're struggling with, write about it, and just look at that and say, wow, I think this is all real. Because you do, otherwise it wouldn't be causing suffering. You look at it, say, but these are like thoughts that I'm having, and I could choose to have different thoughts about this situation. And it sounds like so fucking crazy, but that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're only having thoughts that we have right now because we just chose to have them, maybe unconsciously, because the world told us that's what we're supposed to be thinking. But it's not because that's what's true or real. It's because someone told us to think it about it that way. Like, some people can totally shoot animals and be okay with it. And other people can't. They would, like, totally cry. And they have different thoughts about it. Right? And so it's like, We really need to come to that realization. But in terms of practicality, Cindy, it's like having that self-compassion. Of course you don't want to feel it, because in the past it lasted a long time And you had a bunch of shitty thoughts about that, right? You had a bunch of shitty thoughts about having that feeling. Like, I'm not supposed to have this.
That was really my next question is, like, how do I not add the story to the emotion? It's like it's such a practice thing. How do I stop adding the story so that I can just experience the emotion?
Yeah. So this is going to this is kind of like next level model work, okay? But one thing you can do sometimes when it's a difficulty feeling an emotion is you put that emotion in the C line, in the circumstance line. But I wouldn't put like, I am depressed or blah, blah. Like you could put anxiety, or better yet, you put what anxiety feels like. Chest tight, heart beats faster, blah, blah, blah. Like what's a common feeling for you that you struggle with?
I get the anxiety like a twist in my solar plexus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the question is. It's like you're asking me to describe
what
anxiety feels
uh-huh.
for me. It's just that
uh-huh.
twist in the solar
well,
plexus.
No, not anxiety. What is the common emotion that you struggle with? And then I was just asking you first, what's the common emotion for you that you're saying, I don't want to be in that emotion? So you started off the call saying, I don't want to feel that. So what's that feeling that's most common for you?
See, this is where I have trouble. I can't name the emotion. It's not enough.
That's fine. Just describe it to me. Just describe it to me.
So I guess shame would be the emotion.
Okay, what does shame feel like in your body?
It makes me physically nauseous. It's a twist in my solar plexus, and my intestines feel like nasty, and my shoulders get tight.
Mm-hmm. Right. So everyone listening, pay attention. That, what she just described, is why that's what Cindy's trying to avoid, or that's what she thinks she's trying to avoid. But what you described to me, like, not that bad, and it would pass. What you're really wanting to avoid is all the shit thoughts about it that come after. Because if you just sat there and said, I feel nauseated, but I mean, it's just like having the flu. It's like, oh, okay. Like, I feel nauseated. I have this twisting, da da da. Like, without the story of people didn't buy my art, like, I worked so hard, what's wrong with me? All of these other thoughts happen, right? That's the shit that we are trying to avoid because we make it worse. We beat up on ourselves. Like, think about the most horrible emotion you could experience. Probably like terror and humiliation or something like that, right? Like, oh my gosh, someone's trying to kill me. Like, that's probably the absolute worst emotion we could maybe think of, right? Like, and it's like, if you took that and like, let's say we made a mistake, like someone came to the door and we thought it was someone trying to kill us, but it wasn't. But in the meantime, we're having all of this like physical shit happen. Like, that's all it is. And what neuroscience shows us is that that would pass in 90 seconds if we didn't add thoughts to it. So if you didn't have thoughts about what quote unquote shame was, it would just feel like your intestines were doing whatever and you would feel nauseated and your shoulders would get tight and then it would pass. But what we do is add all those other thoughts. So here's what you do. You put shame in the C line, right? And then you do a thought download about what are your thoughts about shame? Like, oh, like I'm not worthy. I'll never be successful. Like this is a shitty feeling. I'm afraid of feeling this. I don't want to feel like this forever, blah, blah, blah. Like, what are the thoughts that happen when you feel shame that cause you to not want to be in it? Because that's the only reason it's hanging out, is because of your thoughts. So what are your thoughts about shame and about feeling it? And most of those thoughts, for many, have to do with needing to escape it. There's a story of like, uh-oh, I can't feel this. I don't want to feel like this forever. This is scary or whatever, right? You have lots of thoughts about shame. Can you identify what that might be for you?
The thoughts about shame?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now, no.
Okay. So, but this is what I want you to work on, right? So you have those, you have some thoughts. I gave you some suggestions of ones
right.
you might be having. But what you end up doing, like one of your thoughts, I'm just suggesting, could be, I should eat something to make this go away.
Right.
And then what does what? Yeah. And then what happens? What feeling comes from that thought? It's called an urge. And then your urge leads to you eating the whatever you said you ate after feeling shitty, right?
Right.
You ate the food, and the only reason you did that was because you had thoughts that you needed to not feel that emotion, and you thought that eating something would make you feel better. But here is where we tend to prove our thoughts, right? Or we tend to also see our thought. If it's not proof for the thought, it's a reflection of the thought, like a mirror, like the opposite. Because what we end up doing sometimes is shitting on ourselves. Like, it's kind of like with worry. We think that worrying will help us be more safe, but it actually makes us more anxious, right? Same thing. You have thoughts, oh, like, I want to eat this to make the shame go away. And then you eat it, and then what do you feel? Fucking shame.
Right.
You feel even more shame. And that's what happens when we are not becoming aware of our thoughts. This is why in meditation, you know, if you learn, you know, from like, this is what I teach in my mindfulness meditation courses and whatnot too. It's like, there's mindfulness of the body. There's mindfulness of emotions, and there's mindfulness of thoughts. Hello. This shit wasn't discovered by the person I learned the model from. This shit's been around for thousands of years. You look at it in Buddhism right there. They're like, you need mindfulness of your thoughts, your emotions, and your body. And what is the model teach? You need to know how an emotion feels in your body, the thoughtfulness, the mindfulness of the emotion itself, the mindfulness of the thoughts you're having, right? Why? Because for thousands of years, and now with neuroscience, we know that thoughts impact our reality and our suffering and what we create in our lives. This is not like, this is just universal, like, truths, right? And so if you, universal truths, if you're in a body with a brain and you're human, right? Because when we have a body, we have this sense of I separate from other people. And then we have a brain that processes things coming in, and it was meant to keep us alive. So it goes alert, alert, alert whenever something shitty is happening because it thinks we're going to die. So you have to have an awareness, like, this is my brain on like conditioning, right? Like, this has been happening. So even though I feel terrified that I'm not supposed to be feeling shame, my brain's telling me, don't feel this. It feels shitty. That probably means that something's after you to kill you. Now you know, because we've evolved and we have a cerebral cortex now. I mean, a prefrontal cortex. Now you can say, oh, interesting that my brain's doing that. Look at that. And not create a big story about it. Just be like, of course it's doing that. That's what brains do. It was meant to tell me when it was scared, but I know there's nothing to be scared of right now. What's fucking happening? I'm sitting here in my kitchen. I'm fine, right? If you stay present. So the mindfulness of the thoughts that you have when you're trying to escape that emotion. Like, some people don't have the thought, like, you know, I should eat something to feel better. Some people have the thought, I should watch some porn. Other people have the thought, I should go yell at my partner for what they did. I'm feeling ashamed. If I yell at my partner, I'm going to feel better, right? And then they feel self-righteousness, and then they go and they yell at their partner, and guess what? They feel more shame. I can't believe I blew up at them like that. Look at what I did. I feel so ashamed of how I showed up. So whenever we don't show, whenever we're not willing to sit with that crap emotion, we tend to feel more of it. And that's exactly why. Because until we've changed our thoughts about that emotion, it's going to show up somewhere else. That's why it always does. That's why it has, when you said, oh, all of the thought work I learned before finding you and this model has told me just to shift. Well, you still have same thoughts about that feeling. And all you're trying to do is make yourself feel better. That's like beginner stuff. That's just to like not panic in the moment, right? But to really make the fundamental change that will create consistent action in your life that is going to be applied towards creating the life you want versus a reactive life requires the courage, right? This is why the confidence and the courage is such a key. This is why I teach Zigi, because you need that courage. This is not easy work. Like you're saying, I don't want to feel that emotion. You know what I think is fucking scary? Making art and then putting it out there for the world to analyze. Like that sounds fucking terrifying to me. And you do it. Like, so you have the ability to do scary shit. It's pretty awesome, right? Like I always think, God, artists are like, to me, just they're so vulnerable. They act in a play and then people leave them reviews they write a book and then the New York Times writes about it. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, that is like so intense, right? And you can do the same thing with the feeling. Just be willing to feel it. Like, you have to know, I'm very science oriented. So I like science and how it backs all this stuff up now. Like no longer is it just the Buddha said or like, right? And it's sort of like, hey, what neuroscience shows us is that, yeah, there's just shit that happens out there. It comes in through our senses, right? Like if our senses didn't perceive it, we don't even know it fucking exists. When my mom died, I didn't know for 3 days. My body just went on as if she was still alive. We don't know, shit doesn't affect us until it's perceived somehow by one of our senses. And then we process it through this, you know, first very like reptilian brain, like, should this be something I don't fucking want? Like, is this threatening my livelihood? And when we were in our like very early days of evolution, anything that felt bad was bad. Like if people didn't like you, you were going to be ostracized from the tribe and die. Right? Like so feeling shame and feeling like people don't like you, like that was life and death shit. When we were very, very long time ago, in our early days of evolution. And now that's not the truth. And now we have this amazing prefrontal cortex that has evolved over millennia, or really millions of years, to help us accurately perceive what's happening in the world now. And so really, for me, it works to use science, like, oh, of course I'm feeling this way. Like, I'm supposed to be scared if people are mad at me or if people don't like me. But I'm actually fine. Like, I'm going to be fine. The reason I'm feeling shame or anxious or whatever is because of thoughts I'm having. I could not give a flying fuck about it and be totally fine with it. There's this guy that gave a great TED talk a while ago, and he was like so afraid of failing that he would never apply for jobs because he was failing ahead of time, I like to call it. Like he just was assuming that he would not be able to handle the rejection, so he never even tried to get rejected. And he said, I'm going to change this. And he went out, I don't know if he did 100 or if it was for a year or what, but every day he did something that made him super uncomfortable that he was for sure thinking that people were going to reject him. Like he would go up to people's doors with a soccer ball and knock on it and be like, hi, can I play soccer in your backyard? And he would he just did crazy shit. And he's like, until he was no longer afraid of getting rejected. And did he get rejected? Absolutely. But what also happened is sometimes he wouldn't. And he was like, holy shit, I can't believe that this guy let me in his house and I played soccer with his kid in the backyard. Like, it was pretty amazing. And so he had thoughts about getting rejected. Now he has different thoughts because he realized getting rejected didn't kill him. And it, in fact, led him to have some really cool experiences. Being willing to feel rejection led him to have so many amazing experiences. What happened? Nothing, except that his thoughts changed. So that's totally possible for you too, right? So it's when you're feeling something you don't want to feel, put the body sensation in the C line, check out your thoughts about it, and then how does that then make you feel that leads to further actions, right? That'll create proof for it or make things worse, right? And so the other cool thing about this, though, you guys, is while I don't want you to jump from the current unintentional model, we call it, right? You have an unintentional model right now, Cindy, where something happens and then you feel shame, right? And then you feel shame and then you have more thoughts about the shame. Like, yeah. Those are unintentional models. And you can jump and create an intentional model. That's what you've been taught to do before. Change your thought. Change your thought. But in the middle of those two is what we call the river of misery. Like, it does, it's hard, but you got to go through it if you want that intentional model to stick. You can totally change your thoughts and it'll make you feel better for a minute, but until you're like, I can feel anything and be okay, then nothing's going to change. If you remember from the video that many of you watched, my confidence video training, that when was that launched? Like September, I think. September into early October. I talked about, you know, what are some of the key elements of confidence? And one of those is the willingness to feel any emotion. So one of the things is to realize we're only afraid of feeling the emotion because of all the shit that we create that comes after it. If we just sat with the physical vibrations and sensations, it would pass. Okay? So the way you do that, Cindy, is by practicing. Right? We have to eat our vegetables. We have to feel something and practice and not expect it to be easy right away. So this is why I meditate every day, even though I don't feel like it. I sit there and I go, okay, I'm going to be bored. Like this is why I do day-long silent retreats, 24-hour silent retreats once a month. It's like, even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to fucking sit here because boredom is really hard for me. And like, and it's good. And that comes up a lot for me on retreats. And so it's like learning how to feel it and just be with it is such good practice, because then when I have harder emotions, like rage, that's a big one for me. Like when that comes up, I can be like, instead of being like, I need to yell at someone or I need to like fucking lose my shit about this, right? I can just be with it. And then guess what? Oh, it fades. But if I start running with it, it lasts a long ass time. So you have to practice. So just practice. And then to tell yourself, oh, look at me. I'm creating all this story about shame. And then there's a beautiful quote by, I think it's Hafiz. Let me see here. Come and have tea. Is it fear? I can't remember. Poems of Hafiz. Oh, I can't remember. But he said, Rumi's Guest House. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. This is a cool poem. I'm pretty sure this is the one I want. If it's not, it's still good. All right. The guest house. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. They may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So I have clients that say like, and I'm aware that we're a little bit going to go over, but I promise to wrap this up soon. But like, I have clients that say like, but emotions are like so important as information about, and they're thinking like it's information about what's real in the world, right? And I'm like, no, your emotions are giving you information. They're giving you information about your thoughts. This is a gift when you feel shame, because you can say, shame is showing you your shitty thoughts about yourself. And now you can become aware of them and recognize that you are having shitty thoughts and that you can change them. That's all that these emotions are showing you. Look at the thoughts you're having about what your husband just did. Look at the thoughts you're having about the art show. Look at the thoughts about your current job situation. Look at your thoughts about your ability to travel. That's all those feelings are showing you. They're showing you what the hell you're thinking. That's all. So look at it like when I read this and I see Rumi saying these emotions are guides, I think, yes, because they show us what our thoughts are doing. And I, now I'm being guided to the root cause of my suffering. And now I can take control of it. But if I didn't feel this emotion, I would have no awareness that I have these fucked up thoughts that are sabotaging my ideal life. But the fucked up emotions make you aware of your thoughts. And you can go, ooh, interesting. Let me be with that. And now I can change it. Now I am free from. We always want to focus on the freedom too. I want the freedom to buy whatever I want. I want the freedom to do this X, Y, and Z. But freedom from our thoughts that are unconscious is the greatest freedom of all. So I hope that helps, Cindy.
Hugely. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay, my friends. Let me see if someone sent anything in here. Okay, Kate says, please talk about changing thoughts about the way the world works. Yeah, so that is everything, right? So if you look at the model, which is in the ZGF course, it's in the beginning. I think it's somewhere near the welcome or the foundations or something. Actually, I have the course right here. Let me see where it is. It is before week one. It's the training video right before week one. It actually talks about how to do this. And so, but I think I did give you some examples of how to do that just in what I was teaching Cindy here. But in terms of changing the thoughts about the way the world works, one of the most helpful for me is instead of asking, why is this happening to me? I ask, why is this happening for me? So, you know, the model lesson will give you lots of tools for changing a specific thought. If you're talking about thoughts about the way the world works, I'm assuming that that's things like the world is just, or the world is fair, or the world is not fair, or like just these big kind of sweeping thoughts about the way the world works. And you change those big thoughts just like any little thought about tea, right? Like I can have my strong opinions about tea when I'm in my house and how picky I want to get. But when I'm in Mongolia and I'm like pack rafting and I go into someone's gear, they have tea and they give me tea, I choose to think that that's the best thing ever. And I don't sit there and choose to continue my thoughts about, oh, I wish I had heavy whipping cream and, oh, what would a little bit of lavender honey taste like in this and blah, blah, blah. Like, I choose to have a different thought about tea at that moment. And you can do the same thing about the world, believe it or not. It seems like this really big thought, like, oh, there's some truths, though. How do we change those truths? But there aren't. There's just thoughts. I choose to believe what helps me the most. I choose to not have thoughts that don't serve me. Why choose thoughts that don't serve you? It's not like they're fucking real. Why not choose to believe that people love you? Why not choose to believe that when people don't, that's their problem and their loss, right? Why not choose to believe that if someone hits your car, that it was meant to be And I'm not saying, you know, like trauma is such a important topic being talked about right now. And I'm not saying like you get raped and you're immediately like, why, how is this happening for me? But like you process the trauma, you go to therapy, you deal with the very reflexive, real and scary physiological responses that you do not have control over in the immediate event after trauma. And then after that, you start changing your view of the trauma, right? This is why I talked about this in other calls. Like this is why in the past, for PTSD, ecstasy was used a lot in therapy because it helped people change their view of what happened to them into one that was more about the bigger story, the suffering of the perpetrator. Why would that person do that? What was their life like that led them to want to hurt you, right? And they were able, with the use of this drug, to open up their mind and be like, wow, yeah, and then seeing the bigger picture of things. And that is what helped people very effectively move through their PTSD and start healing at a deeper level. So why not choose a different story that better serves you? You just decide. I choose to believe that the world is safe. Like I wake up every morning, you guys, I practice this every day. Like I had a traumatic childhood, right? I suffered abuse, like, and then also just accidents and fucked up shit happening, right? Just because of life. And so I have this feeling that the world is not safe, this thought that the world is not safe, that creates anxiety sometimes, especially when I'm not meditating and doing my work. And so what I do know is that one of the first thoughts that I plant in my mind when I wake up is I say, I am safe, happy, and loved. I say that every morning. One of the first things that enters my mind when I am awake, maybe even before I open my eyes, I wake up, oh, I'm so glad I'm alive today. I am safe, happy, and loved. And I really generate those feelings of safety, of happiness, and love because you have to practice those thoughts to replace the other ones. You have to practice those thoughts. So practicing those thoughts about how you want to feel and really generating those feelings and being willing to sit with the anxiety if it's still there. And then I tell myself, oh, of course I'm anxious right now. I had a really, like, some hard shit happen. Put my hand over my heart. That's what works for me. Sometimes I stroke my face. I put my left hand on my heart, and then I kind of stroke my face with my right hand. Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was a really tough year, that childhood. So much hard stuff there, Anna. So sorry you're feeling that way. Talk to yourself like you would a friend. If your best friend was saying, I feel shame, what would you tell them? Tell that to yourself. And then, right, of course you're interpreting it that way. Now, what do we want to choose to think about that situation? Oh, well, when I was physically abused, right, I developed this resilience. I developed this drive to get out of my house. And the way to do that was with education. So I studied my ass off. I became like a wicked good student. Now I have like all this intelligence and all these things to share with the world. Like, who knows? If my family had been like Leave It to Beaver, I doubt I would be a life coach right now. And I doubt I would have become a rock climber and like done all and a mountaineer and like done all these things that really I was driven to do because I had such a shitty childhood, right? And so like I choose to believe that. And it helped me love more. It helped me love my parents more, forgive them. Like I feel better. Why the fuck not? It's just as real, man, just as real. Why not choose to see the world in a way that serves you? Because all we're doing right now is choosing how we want to think about it. Remember, there's not a truth there. You get to choose. When people believe in, like I was telling you, I have some, like, Latter-day Saints clients, right? Like, and which is hilarious because I swear so much and stuff. But they're just like, not like they believe that there's like, you know, you die and you get planets and shit and like you have to like marry guys. I mean, there's like a lot of interesting beliefs and they fully believe it. And I'm like, that's cool. Whatever. As long as you like your reasons for believing that, I don't fucking care. How do I know there's not fucking planets out there and whatever they're saying is true? It doesn't serve me right now to believe that. So so I'm choosing not to. They think their life is better because of it. Fine, do it. Like, whatever. I don't care what you believe, right? As long as you're not getting on my business, okay? And so all it is just our thoughts anyway. So I hope that that helps, Kate. Let me see here. All right. Anybody else? Okay. So, did someone just post something in the Facebook group? Let me see here. No. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to close up because I'll give you more information about this on the last day. But since this is a recording, I just wanted to tell you about the Freedom School, which will be starting in the new year. I'm going to launch it in December. So you can sign up then, and then you get access to Headspin, which is my course that really focuses on teaching this model and going into more detail about it, kind of like a month-long immersion just in the model and doing the thought work. And then we have monthly topics every month. And so you can pay for a year, and I'm going to let everybody in a current program know about that in advance because the first 10 people that sign up for the year get 30-minute monthly coaching calls with me for the year. So that's like a super good value, but it's just for the first 10 people. So I'm going to open that up to people that are already in programs first because you just deserve to have access to that from like people that have never worked with me before first, right? Because you're like in the VIP club. And then, or you can pay monthly because I know that for some people it's just monthly and it's $97 a month and you get weekly coaching calls, you get workbooks for every topic of the month and you get all kinds of, you get the Facebook group support. And so it's a really good value because, you know, even therapy is more expensive than that just for one session or maybe even two or three sessions. So really good value, different topics every month. We're going to start off the new year with how to get shit done, like how to stick to your goals, how to make your goals happen. And then February, of course, is going to be about relationships, not just romantic ones, though, like parents, coworkers, all that kind of stuff. Like how do we change the way we show up in relationships and in a way that's more empowered so that we're not just thinking about what everybody else needs, but also about what we need. And then, like I said, March is going to be about buffering and how to not go to other things to feel better and how to be with these emotions. So there's just different topics every month. And it's going to be on a whole new platform. It's going to be amazing. So just keep an eye out for that, okay? And you should start getting emails about that in December. And like I said, when you sign up in December, you'll be plenty busy because you'll get access to Headspin. And then and then jump into the other program. So it's going to be Freedom School. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for you to see the sales page. It's gorgeous. I found like my favorite designers ever. They're this group of women in Australia and they just blow my fucking mind. It's like they know me. They're like, how do you think of this? Does this look nice? And I'm like, oh my gosh, my clients are going to love that. So, wait till you see. I know that you just saw some basic logos, but that's like nothing compared to the wildness that's going to come out. Okay, so keep an eye out for that. And we still have some days in the program. So ask me questions in the Facebook group, all right? And I am so honored to be able to teach you this work, you guys, because it has changed my life. You know, everything I teach is because I suffered in the same way and I learned something that worked and I'm like, I got to share this with people. I'm not just like teaching stuff that didn't work for me. Like literally this stuff has changed my life. This thought work has been the most helpful, more than any therapy I've ever done with helping my relationship with my husband, you know, with showing up in the world the way I want and all of that, you know, really more than my meditation practice because it gave me a practical way to apply the concepts of mindfulness in the world. So it's a great adjunct to my practice. It's really taken it to the next level. So I hope it does for you too. And remember, you have access to this course in Rizuku, however long Rizuku is around. Okay? So I love you all. I can't wait to see you in the Facebook group for the rest of the week. And relax. You know, you're exactly where you should be. Go into the modules and do the work, and it'll make a difference. All right. Mwah! I'll see you later. Bye.